Let's go ahead and get started on the next segment. We are joined today by some talented bankruptcy lawyers. Jennifer Wirtz is a partner in Austin at Jackson Walker and represents financial institutions, equipment lenders, healthcare service providers, agricultural lenders, and creditors, and has a variety of other experiences in the bankruptcy space. She's joined by Bo Butler, who is a UT undergrad and graduate of UT Law, and is also in the bankruptcy group at Jackson Walker here in Austin with experience in all facets of bankruptcy law. So let's welcome our next panel. Take it from here. Thank you.
Thank you for the introduction. That's a nice one. Usually the slide that you see is the way we're either perceived or the way we just come out and say hi. Sort of the grim reapers of the law, so to speak. Both Bo and I practice 100% in bankruptcy. It's been entirely my practice. I clerked with one of the bankruptcy judges here in Austin and then joined the firm after that experience. So very excited to talk to you all today. I think we may be the only Grim Reaper bankruptcy lawyers here. So please pause us if you have questions. Our thinking for this was that we would endeavor to give you an overview of bankruptcy. I think same for the technology world. We tend to speak a little bit in acronyms, and it can be a little bit difficult for those who are on the outside of it to understand what's going on. I think it is a fair comment that people will criticize or opine that bankruptcy seems like Alice in Wonderland or the upside down, because what you might expect in any other area of law, especially corporate law, or really actually litigation, is actually the opposite result in a bankruptcy proceeding. So please stop if you've got questions. We'll go through sort of some background like I talked about. Also, in particular, I want to address some concepts that are particular to intellectual property in bankruptcy, because some of them are different. And then finally get into some of the recent cases in the technology space, because we have seen an uptick in filing certainly last year and the beginning of this year in the crypto space, and then related fields from tech. So with that, we'll start with the next slide. One of the areas of bankruptcy that seems foreign to people outside of it immediately is the cast of characters, the players in bankruptcy. Very different from typical litigation, because it's not a two-party dispute. It's not a plaintiff. We heard a lot about plaintiff's lawyers. It's not plaintiff versus defendant. So it's a lot of people with a statutory right to be at the table, and a lot of people who have an interest and who are stakeholders, and especially in a corporate case in the bankruptcy. So, Bo, do you want to talk about some of the players we've listed that are at least pretty frequent in most corporate cases?
Sure. So you've got the star of the show, which is the debtor. This can be an individual, a corporation and its affiliates, spouses, what have you. Obviously, you've got the bankruptcy judge. A bankruptcy judge is an Article III judge, which can get tricky when it comes to final decisions, but we'll get into that later. You've got the trustee, kind of the referee of a bankruptcy proceeding. There are several different types of trustees, and rather than bore you with the nuances of each one, just know that that person's there to make sure everything's being conducted above board.
And that Bo is the United States trustee, right?
That's the United States trustee. There's additional trustees, so you could be dealing with multiple trustees. In any case, you've got your Subchapter 5 trustees, you've got Chapter 13 trustees, all of whom are not necessarily creditors or debtors. They're this third party there to watch the case and make sure everything is conducted appropriately.
And where you'll see the United States trustee is an arm actually of the Department of Justice, so it is their job and task to monitor bankruptcy proceedings. And then if there is not, but we'll get into this, you see it on the slide, an unsecured creditors committee appointed, then they are the constituency that's got the right to stand up for unsecured creditors, even though they're not, they don't have counsel and they're not actively participating in the case. They're definitely there as sort of a hall monitor, I would call them. That might be a little critical, but they are there to make sure, especially in a corporate case, that the debtor's got appropriate insurance, that cash isn't flowing out of the back door, so to speak, and sort of monitor the debtor, especially if there aren't enough other parties doing that in the case?